Hello, I'm Fern Cotton, and this is Happy Place, the show that knows real growth can come from the darkest places. Today, I'm chatting to Jess Glynn.
Losing a friend, I think, has done a job. Like, I'm not that Jess from before the night that that happened. You just don't see life the same ever again. And I think what it really has taught me is life is about making choices for your own happiness. And that's not selfish. That's actually just doing the right thing. It's one of those things where, because of like that tragedy and then going through therapy and then kind of coming out the other side, now I feel like, okay, I got this, because what's the worst that could happen?
Jess made history by becoming the first British female solo artist to score 7 number ones in the UK singles chart. Her 2 platinum-selling albums were both number one records too. Now she's back with her most personal music to date. Her new album is called Jess, and it's a real deep dive into who she is, what she's been through, and how she's feeling. I absolutely love her single Enough, which I think is a song we all need to really take heed of. Listen to those lyrics and believe it. I first met Jess when she came into the Live Lounge. I think it was about either 2013 or 2014, and she was with Clean Bandit. They were in the Live Lounge, and she was on their featuring track. And I think all of us were just like, wow, who's this? That voice is amazing. And then I met Jess many times over the years in the Live Lounge, different music events, and also personally, because there's also an incredibly sad reason we're connected too. So one of our really brilliant mutual friends died really suddenly. So the last time I saw Jess was sadly at her funeral. And I wasn't sure at the time of doing this chat if we'd walk into that territory, if we would talk about our mate Lindell, but it very naturally came up. And it was really lovely to be able to share some memories with Jess, but also to hear how grief has galvanized her. So we chatted about how death can change your outlook on life, why forgiving ourselves and each other is so important, and why it's really, really okay to not be anything or anyone else but you.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Right, here we go. This is the show. Hi, Jess Glynn.
Hi there.
I love your new song.
Do you? Ah, thank you so much.
I love it. There's a line in the chorus that says, I'm more than enough.
That is right, yeah.
How did you get to that place?
Do you know what? That song was a real journey. And I think it's crazy because I'd been on such a break, right? Because COVID had happened and then was in lockdown. And then I was like burnt out from tour. And I didn't want to see a studio or a microphone or anything. And then they kind of lifted the rules and we went into the studio. And so much time had passed and it was like, well, for me anyway, because I'd been on the road for like 7 years. So 6 months felt like a long time. I went into the studio and there was like this self-reflection day because was it six of us? Yeah, about six of us of like who just came together and we were like, oh, you survived. Are you all right? Were you okay?
Humans.
Yeah. We were all like, oh my God, what have you been through? How are you feeling? And everyone kind of was talking about what they'd been through and where we like what was going on and how we were feeling. And I was obviously talking about my struggles and my like, you know, my ins and outs of what I was going through with work, with personal life. And it was just this kind of really nice moment of people reassuring each other, you're all right. And you know what? You got this. Like, are you allowed to swear on this?
Of course, man.
Yeah. I was going to say, fuck that. I was like, oh, no. And it was just one of those, like, literally, like, not in a nasty way, but like, kind of fuck what everyone thinks. And like, you're all good. Like, do you? And like that reassurance of like, you're good enough to do what you want, Jess.
Yeah.
And everyone as well in the room. So it was really, yeah, it was one of those moments.
Not many of us feel like that. I think it takes such work to get to a place where you go, I am enough. Even if I never do anything ever again, I am enough as I am. I think most of us feel really battered by whether it's outside commentary from other people or just stuff that we've been through.
Yeah.
So prior to you feeling like, I'm good, I'm enough, where were you at?
Do you know what? I think I was in a... I was on a roller coaster. I think it was that I'd been on the road, I'd released album one, and then that had gone crazy, and then two, and then that had gone crazy, and it was amazing. And I think pre-going in for this album, I genuinely think I'd, like, lost myself a bit. Because I was like, oh, what do I want to say? Who am I? And it's mad, because I wrote this song, and I swear, this song set the tone. It just made me realise, okay, I know where I'm going. And I think it was... I mean, it's been a whole process, like, think of 4 years, but... That was the moment I was like, this song's definitely going on the album and this is why. Because I think when you listen to the lyrics of that song, it's kind of like every lyric and every, like the verses, it's like, okay, I've done this and then that's all right, but this happened, but then, okay, that was a barrier, but then, like, it's kind of like a push and pull the whole song. And that's kind of how I felt leading up to going back in the studio.
Yeah.
There was a lot of push and pull in my life. And I think with my team, I was struggling a lot to find a balance of like them understanding who I was and also being able to kind of, it's sometimes hard to execute like when you've evolved so much and having to explain yourself a lot. And it's like, I don't want to have to keep kind of telling you where I'm at and who I am and why. And that's a draining.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Yeah. And if you don't get it, you don't get it. And I think I was at that point, actually, I wasn't ready to be like, if you don't get it, you don't get it. And that's okay. We can part ways. I wasn't ready then. But it was getting to that point, I think.
And also, you know, you're in an industry, even outside of your label, you're in an industry that can make you feel not enough in so many ways, whether it's pressure from your label, pressure from the industry just as a whole, also the outside commentary from your fan base or from people listening to your music. Mm. It's pretty relentless in terms of feedback. So how do you now mitigate that to still feel like, I'm enough? I don't need to take on other people's, whether it is critique or whether it's just people asking questions that aren't particularly welcome.
Yeah. It's a journey. It's definitely a journey. And it is crazy because I think, just going back to the song, even when I wrote this song, I still didn't have that belief system in myself. So that was kind of, have a word with yourself. But then it was like, it took then probably another year or two to actually get to that point where I was like, oh, you know, you're actually good enough and you're okay. And yeah, it's okay to say no. But that's such a like lot of work because, like you say, the industry is so full of like, expectation. And I think also we put it on ourselves.
Well, it's competitive, isn't it, as well?
Yeah. So it's kind of like you're surrounded by a lot of people who are like doing the most and these perfect imageries of life and, oh, this person's doing this and that. But in actually, it's like, it's not about anyone else. It's about your journey. And it's like, block out the noise and just focus on you and what makes you happy. But it takes a lot to get there. It took me a lot to get there.
So much.
Yeah.
So what else do you think helped you get there? Have you done therapy? Is it just having good people around you?
I did go into therapy. So at the end of 2020, I was... So that's when I started the album. And then the beginning of 21, I went to America for like 6 to 8 weeks, actually, to write, which was really great, but also a really weird experience, actually. Because that was the start of like, my big lostness, if that's even a word.
In the wilderness.
I was, I kind of went out there just on my own and I was like, right, I'm working with some people that I've dreamt, like Greg Kirsten, I've dreamt of working with for like my whole career. But there was this imbalance and it was that moment of like, okay, just block out everyone and just go in and do you. And it's the first time I really did that. I'd sit in my hotel room, I would blast Joni Mitchell and go back to old records because I'd lost like touch with music. And listening to current music, I just couldn't connect. So I was like listening to loads of Joni, loads of Blue, loads of Amy, loads of Prince, just to like feel good.
Love.
And also like, I think for me, I've never, I think, been super open with like the world in a way. I think there's a part of me I've really kept to myself. And I think I made a decision when I was in LA to just like, Jess, tell your story, be honest, be real, and let it all like like let it all out in this album and like write songs that when you listen to like a Joni story, it's like a real detailed like feeling. It's like, yeah. So I just wanted to achieve that, I think.
Hence why the album's called Jess.
Yeah.
You're putting your story out there.
Exactly.
It's a beautiful thing. What do you think led to you holding bits of yourself back previously?
Like what you said before, I think there's so much kind of pressure and judgment and so much like, I mean, fame is scary, don't you think? Like you were in that spotlight early, right?
Weird. Yeah. I don't know what I feel about it. Or yeah, most of the time, I just think it's not a thing. I just crack on my life. I go to the supermarket. I do all normal things.
Yeah.
Just get on with it. But it is weird.
It's
a weird feeling. And I think I only really notice a difference when I go to another country. So I'm like, I don't know, in Ibiza or whatever in the summer or wherever I am. And I know that I'm completely anonymous. I go, I sort of sigh out, like, and relax, because you're not on that high alert of, is someone watching me or whatever.
Is somebody going to come? Yeah. It's mad, isn't it?
So there was a fear of judgment, would you say, holding bits of yourself back?
I think I just, do you know how I could break it down? I think the best thing is to, I don't think I was ever, and I can only look at it now, I don't think I ever felt 100% comfortable, and that's in myself, in my job, in everything, where I felt like I know who I am. Like, and that's not me being cliche or whatever, but I genuinely feel like, oh, okay, there's a reason why I feel like that now. And it's because of the journey I've been on, because I've evolved, because I've done a lot of work on myself, because I've been through a lot. And I think looking back, having had the success I've had and like been on that journey, it's like I kind of know what's safe and what's not now. And also, I genuinely do feel like I'm in like a stable place in my life, and I'm like happy with who I am, which is a big thing to say
it's
and
huge.
To feel. But I think that's part of it, and I wouldn't have known that back then. That's why, but I'm guessing that's probably why. I never felt 100% like comfortable to be okay. Hi, let's have this chat, you know. Whereas now I feel like, oh, okay, I can have that chat.
I don't think it's a cliche at all. I think it's extremely common that most of us. Growing up, just a trying to, I remember even in the sort of, in the presenting quota of my career, I'd be constantly going, should I be a bit more like Zoe Ball, who I'm absolutely obsessed with? Or should I try and be like more Denise Van Outen in the 90s? Like, who the hell am I? And it takes you so long to work out. It's okay to not try and be anything. You can just stop trying and
be firm.
Just be me. Yeah. And there's going to be days where that's great and it works out, and days where it's just not as great. And that's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
But it takes a lot to get there. I think you've done it quite early, actually.
Do you think? Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
I am glad that, like, I think for me, so after that album process and then kind of like parting ways with my management and then parting ways with my record label and doing that all on your own is like, I mean, it was incredibly hard at the time. I can't even tell you. Like, I was on, in another place in my head and whatever was going on. But I think coming through it and being like, whoa, you did all of that yourself. You negotiated all of that yourself. You figured all of that out. I was like, you're all right, you know. If you can go through all of that, then you're all right.
Change is so scary.
Scary.
Yeah, you're free falling.
Because also it's like that moment of like accepting that you might not do another deal. You might not do this. You don't know what's to come. But like, I'm a very strong believer of like self-belief and like believing in what your gut says. And so I've always been like that, I think. And so I was like, no, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Yeah. So looking back now, I'm like, yeah, that's probably how I got to that.
Yeah. Well, when you strip back everything and you're accountable and it's just you accountable for where you're going, what your direction is, I think that's how you build resilience, isn't it? Because you go, all right, like you said, you got through that and you're in a good place with teams that you want to work with.
Yeah, like handpicked. Because it's like you then, I guess I was in a position of like, oh, okay, I can choose who I want to work with and I can, if someone makes, like if there's a connection and it was like, this family has just grown around me. And it's actually beautiful because it's like, oh, that's all come from me.
Yeah.
But from making those decisions and what have you. And so it's like, I'm now surrounded by such incredible people that like, you know, we've built this new foundation and it's like, album's ready and we're like, you know, it has been a process. But yeah. Also to say as well, I think part of that, you know, losing a friend in the middle of that, I think has done a job.
Yeah.
Because that was just before I actually chose to leave my management and my label. And it was like that moment of that loss and that like kind of, it was quite tragic for me. I think that opened my eyes to like make choices for your own happiness because life is short.
Oh, yeah. God. I mean, totally. I mean, just for context for the listeners, this is a friend that was a mutual friend of us who...
I
was wondering this morning, I actually spoke to Lindell's partner that she left behind, Tom. And I said, look, I'm meeting Jess. Mm. The subject will probably turn to Lindell at some point because she was such a huge part of both of our lives. Mm. And I mean, she made such an impact on everyone's lives that she touched.
It's mad,
she
isn't
was
it?
Just the most incredible character. And it's easy to say that when someone's not here anymore, but she really was a special person.
That's the best thing to say, you know. It's so easy. Like people say that when they're not here, but this person,
It was. And also, she died extremely suddenly, which was, I mean, beyond a shock for all of us to sort of comprehend and get our heads around. And it was almost impossible. I still feel like it's impossible that she's not here.
Yeah. There's that, what's that thing that I can't remember. Someone said it to me. It's like you live your life and you kind of pretend they're still there. Because you're like, oh, I just don't see her today.
Yeah.
And you like think about her and you're like, oh, no, it's just because she's doing something in Australia.
And when someone was so like bright and vibrant personality-wise, you just think, you can't not be here. Yeah. It's too weird. And I think, you know, for anyone that's been through anything like that and for it to be in shocking circumstances, it can't not change you.
No.
How do you think that notion of life is short has impacted you and your decision-making?
So the impact of that in my life has been huge. I think it's, again, it sounds cliche, it's like changed me forever. Like I'm not that Jess from before the night that that happened. It's mad. Like I'm still obviously me, but I think you just don't see life the same ever again. And I think that's when I really started therapy because it was something that obviously I really needed to like figure out and deal with because of PTSD and all of that stuff. And I think what it really has taught me is like life is about making choices for your own happiness. And that's not selfish. That's actually just doing the right thing. And that person, Lindell, was the one person that always was like, you got to do what your gut feels. And, you know, even the last time I was with her, we had the conversation about my whole team and whatever. And, you know, she was like, fuck this, do this, go get this, da, da, da. And to be honest, all the conversations we had and all the choices she told me to do, I've done them all.
Wow.
So it's kind of beautiful, but it's one of those things where because of like that tragedy and then going through therapy and then kind of coming out the other side, now I feel like, okay, I got this because what's the worst that could happen, you know, and that's it.
Yeah.
Been through that, like, come on, like, give it to me. Do you know what I mean? You feel like you built this armor now of like, I got this, you know, as hard as it is and like reflecting, it's not easy, but it's like, you know what, I've got this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's such a strange, complex thing to look back
it
on.
It is complex,
I was speaking to Tom this morning on voice note, because there's all these stories that keep coming and sometimes you think, oh, is it appropriate to share these memories? It's again sort of feeling your way, like, is it okay to share this memory today? Because I've had all these brilliant sort of memories bubble up of your time together. But actually, one of the memories I was talking to him about was I got so bollocked at the funeral. Because I was in the car park afterwards with a small group of people. And because she made such an impact on everyone's life and all of our stories were so funny, like all the memories that I have of her were like, we were either hysterically laughing or something absolutely bananas was happening.
Mental.
We were like sort of crying, but laughing our heads off. And it felt like a very Lindell moment. And the guy who was doing the next service came out and was like, guys, can you shut the hell up? We're doing like another funeral. And we were like, oh my God.
Wow.
But I was like, again, that is the most Lindell. Like, she would have been like cracking up with laughter.
She'd probably been like, do one,
Yeah. I know.
It's mad, isn't it?
I know.
Yeah.
But it's a strange thing and I don't think you ever really get your head around it.
Nah.
But I do think, like you just said,
it's a part of the journey.
It is. And you live differently because of it.
And not in a like a bad way. I think it's like it's one of those things that I don't often talk about. But it is one of those things that I can at least look back and it's like it is so shit that that happened and I wish it never happened, but I can at least kind of like move forward now knowing that it's been like actually my changes in my life and the pluses that are like that I'm living. Because she was that person that was like, you have to be you and do you and what's right. And if walking away from that is right and choosing this as your team and going here, like, you got to do that. And I think having that voice on my shoulder, regardless of whether it's, you know, she's here or not, it's definitely put me in a place where I'm like, I can be like, thanks. You know, like, you helped, even though you disappeared. But
yeah. It's like, but we've all got to live like that,
yeah,
regardless, whatever the situation, yeah, that... Life is so short. And like 100%. We all know, even this last few years has been this weird time warp of what is time and what year, mm-hmm, are we in and what's going,
yeah,
on.
It's mad.
We've got to just like grab life, yeah, and go for it. I think we all forget and we all get complacent. It's human, yeah, nature that 100. We're stuck in the minutiae of life and, mm, oh God, I'm late for this. I've got this big list of things to do. But actually, we've got to grab life, mm, and just fucking go for,
yeah,
it. We've got to.
Like, that's the thing, I think, as well, over the past few years, obviously been going, you know, doing an album, working, I've been working my ass off to make sure that, you know, I get this album done. I can't even believe it's like coming up to 5 years since my last record. Like, it's like you say, this time warp. It's mad. But then it's like through that time, I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I make choices now to like go on holiday and take time off. And if my family put that first, or like, I don't always prioritize work.
Mm.
You know, I think that's also something that in this industry is so easy to do. It's like saying yes to everything because you don't want to miss an opportunity. But actually, what is that opportunity and how important is that in comparison to like you living your life and like having, you know, a moment's break or being with your nan or, you,
yeah,
know?
I think we give ourselves such a hard time in choosing to have, mm, time out or switching off even at the weekends and going, I'm not going to think about whatever it is that I'm doing. I think, yeah, the industry... And there's a lot of industries like this that certainly perpetuate that feeling of, I've got to keep on the move. I've got to keep, yeah, thinking and mulling over things. But actually, we're not going to look back one day and go, I'm so glad that all I did was work and work and work.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to look back and think of all the little precious memories of, yeah, like little breaks or like time, mm-hmm, of your nan or time, yeah, of your family.
It's mad, isn't it? Mm. You forget that though when you're in it. And I think that's where I get to like Jess and the album and I'm like, yeah, you know what? This has taken time. And when I listen through it, it doesn't feel like an erratic record. And I think that's why I like love it so much as well. Mm. So I'm like, oh, you know what? Maybe it's taken a long time because of all these things. But at least I can listen to it and go, you know what? It all makes sense.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
There's also a song there called Silly Me, which I think yeah, is really something that we need out there. And there's a lot of people, yeah, at the moment, like, we've got Dawn French coming up on the podcast soon, and she's written a book called The Twat Files, which is amazing.
The Twat what?
Twat Files.
I thought you and said it's, farts. I was like,
well, Twat Files.
Oh, no, Twat Files.
She'd,
yeah,
probably love that.
No,
and
know,
it's all about the moments where you're just a massive twat, which we, yeah, all are all the time. We all make mistakes.
Oh,
and
gosh,
we've got to reiterate this message that we're human and that there's going to be things that we, mm-hmm, look back and think, I wish I hadn't done that, or I wish, mm, I hadn't messed up here, whatever. We've all done it. But I think the margin for error is getting so small and there's no room for any of us to make mistakes anymore.
No.
And I think that's so unhealthy.
It is. It's so unhealthy. And I think, and I'm sure, I don't know whether you have experienced like the social world, social media world. Oh. And it's like the attack and like just minor error becoming the end of someone's career. And it's like, look, at the end of the day, some things, yeah, okay, you need to lock off and what have you. I just think it's allowing room for people to make a mistake, but then teaching them and going, do you know what? As long as that person, if they've made that mistake, can go and learn from it and actually teach themselves why they made that fuck up or whatever it was, and they can, you know, rectify it in their life moving forward. What's the problem?
I agree. Because like, who out there can say, I've never made a mistake, so I therefore can
it's
judge
mental.
You on yours?
Yeah.
Nobody.
I know.
Nobody. And it's really dangerous territory for us to get into a space where we're,
yeah,
like, everyone's got to get it perfect all the time, because
right,
that's impossible. But it also,
yeah,
sets a horrible standard for everyone else. And I think that's where we start to internalize shame and guilt and really harbor it. And we don't need to. We should be able to go, I fucked up. Sorry, let's move on. Because I think actually the more forgiving, and this is what I think people forget, especially like people keyboard warrioring, whatever. If we're forgiving of other people, we're going to forgive ourselves more easily, which is a relief. That's a huge relief.
I love that you brought that up as well. Like, silly me. When I did that song and I made sure that that was the first song that kind of came out of me and into the world before everything started again, purely for that reason. Because it's like, I felt like that message, and I feel like that message is so freaking important. Like, this is me. And oh gosh, like literally silly me, because it is like that. You shouldn't be so hard on yourself. You shouldn't be so heavy with it. And it's like, look, I can look back and I've definitely made a lot of mistakes.
Yeah,
and
we all have.
And like, but I don't look back and think, you bad person. You're not an intentionally bad person. You just like were tripping up and like had to learn along the way. And that's why you're here. And I'm probably going to trip up again.
Oh my
again,
God. That's again. The most humbling thing. We're going to keep doing it forever.
Yeah. I'm going to do it again.
Yeah.
And I think it's like the sooner like we start accepting that and stop creating these big fat boundaries between and like fear, because that's what it does. Like it instills like a fear in you. And I think that's another thing, like just to go back to like Lindell, it's like she was fearless.
Fearless.
Fearless. And I think honestly, like those things that that person surrounded us with, I live it. I really do. And I like what I've done with this record and moving forward with my life. And like, you know, it's like I have to be fearless, you know, and I have to dive in at the deep end, because it's like, if you don't do it now, when are you going to do it?
Yeah.
Like, that's the maddest thing. It's like, well, if you don't make that choice now, then it might be too late, or you might miss that choice or that opportunity or whatever that is. Because then, and then you're like, oh, then you really are like silly me.
Yeah. And also no like, one out there can try anything new or do anything without someone saying something. It could be your auntie or it could be a million people on social media. But there's always going to be someone that says, oh, I don't know if you should be doing that, or you're not very good at that. So you just got to fuck it all off and do the thing.
Right.
You've got to do the thing.
Do the thing.
Yeah,
live your life.
I have to like tell myself this all the time, because I'm constantly wanting to push myself, try new things, do new things. But there is always that fear of, oh my God, what will people say? What will people think? And we've just got to get rid of that fear.
I know.
I mean, you came off social media for quite some time and took a break from it. Mm-hmm. How was it integrating back into that world, putting yourself back out there in that way?
I think for me, I came off of it because I really did need a break. Something had happened and I felt incredibly battered, to be honest. I'll just be real. And I was receiving like a lot of negativity and like death threats. And like, it was just, I was like, whoa, I didn't realise it could affect me that much. Like, and actually really, like a computer could attack you.
Yeah.
I just didn't. It was crazy. And I think I was like, right, I need to recollaborate?
Recalibrate.
And I was like, I don't need to live on this for now. And it's been a journey, but it's been actually a really like good journey to this point, because I now like built a really great relationship with it. Social media is one of those things that I think is actually amazing. It allows you to connect with your fans and connect with people, like share your creativity how you want to, like be authentic, be real, but also like keep something for yourself. And I think that's what I do love about it, is that side. And I think I've got to that point where it's like, I give as much as I feel comfortable with, and I have a team that support me massively with it all and help me control it, because I'm not amazing at it. But it's all led by me, you know. Nothing ever goes out without me or approved or what have you. But I've built a relationship with it, like, where I'm like, cool, if I need to come off it, I can come off it.
Yeah.
And if I want to be on it, I'm on it. And I think that's actually how everyone should be, because it can be like life controlling. And I think that's why I remove myself to like have a moment to be like, right, let me live life. Let me do me. Let me like write this album. Let me be like wholesomely like authentic and real and live in the moment. And then when I'm ready, I'll be back.
Mm.
And I got there.
Good. And that's empowering to go, I can just step away if this isn't like feeling good to me.
Yeah.
If you're not feeling good about it, why be on it? I think it's we feel it's such a given that certainly people in your position that you should be on social media telling us everything. And it's like, actually, you're in control of what you put out there and when. And, and if you feel happy about that. I mean, it is, because I've certainly been there.
Yeah.
How did it affect you getting bombarded on social media? It's a shitty feeling. I personally was in a dark, dark space. There was other shit going. This is years and years ago.
Yeah.
And other stuff going on.
Yeah.
But I was totally like rock bottom. It wasn't just that, but I had a lot of stuff going on. That just compounded it. And I think you do. I certainly lost a sense of who I was, what my skill set was, because it's like I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't know how to do it. So I can't conflate what I know with what other people are saying about me. I've got to stay strong with, no, wait a minute, I've been doing this for years. I know what I'm doing, and finding that confidence again. But like you say, it batters you. It absolutely batters you.
Do you know, the way you just described how you were, I think that was it. It was that I was like, I think when it all happened, like you say, it wasn't just that. I mean, massively that moment was like, hell no, I don't want to, I couldn't even. But then it was like the components of everything else around it, like the lack of support, the lack of so many different things. And then the like feeling of like, yeah, like, who am I? What am I doing? Why has this happened? Why has that happened? Why am I now looking at like so many different points of my life that felt so, what is the word? Like out of control. And it was like, and there was no one there, bar actually, like I'll never forget actually this day that I woke up because, look, I'll talk about it. Basically, I did a podcast and it just, something came out unapproved. And I woke up in the morning and like all my kind of, like the community was messaging me, like my friends and like someone really close to me, Glyn, from Sync to Pink, who, I mean, has been a friend for years. I had these messages like, are you all right? And all these things. And I was thinking, what do you mean, am I all right? Like, I didn't understand what the hell was going on. I woke up to just a bombard of, like, love. Really.
Horrific. But it's also horrific. Horrific, because I was like, what the fuck's going on?
I was like, yeah, I'm great. Like, what's going on? Oh, my gosh. And then I opened my socials and I was like, oh, gosh. And I remember lying in bed and being like, oh, my gosh. And, like, you're helpless. It's like, it's out there, there's no going back. And also it's like, there's no way you can explain yourself in those moments because actually there's nothing to say. And I've learned this only now where I'm like, at that point in time, there was nothing I could say. I'm not going to jump on and be like, no, I could, because you know what, at that point it's like, I remember speaking to Glyn and just going, just teach me. How have I offended so many people? I just need to learn because I'm not going to like act. I don't want to speak. I don't want to do anything until I actually learn my like position. And he was like, cool, I got you. Obviously he had a complete meltdown. And the people that actually saved me in that whole thing were my two best mates. Mm. So like Jolene and Janae, I just remember the door going at like 8 o'clock in the morning, swear down. And I opened the door and they were both there like, ugh. And I was like, I'm done. Like I genuinely on that day, I think I was already going through it and I was like, I quit everything. I was like, at this point in time, I think it got to the afternoon and I was like, I'm done with everything. I was like, I absolutely can't do this anymore. I was like, if this is how life is going to be, I don't want to be doing this as my job. I don't want to be in this. I don't want to work. I just couldn't deal. It's like the end of everything. That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
And it was just like, and that didn't go away quickly. I think it's like, for me to be like, I don't ever want to do music again, and I don't ever want to, you know, like to feel that, and I'm sure like you get it where you're like, I don't know who
Mate,
the hell.
I was there.
Yeah.
I don't do TV still now.
It's mad.
I can't do it. Yeah. And it's, I think you get there. Like I might get there and go, oh, I'd quite like to go back and do this and that. But I think you just go, I know what my limits are now. And I know where I feel comfortable putting myself and where I don't.
I know. I think it's just, do you know what? It's like, I look back and I think, oh my gosh, moments happen in life and I'm like, when I think of like those 3 years of like 2021 and 22, I'm like, whoa, sucker punch after sucker punch. And I'm like, but I don't look at it and I don't want any pity or like, I never want people to feel sorry for me because look, people go through shit. It just like, it humbles you though. And I think it really kind of makes, like, I feel like a much more kind of loving human being. Like I love everyone. Like everyone I see, and it's mad. Like I never, ever, ever want to make anyone feel anything other than loved or feel supported or feel like, hi, you're right. Like it doesn't cost anything to just be nice. I think like that's one thing in my life. I'm just like, just be you and be nice.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's, you know, not to be reductive about how much work it's taken you to get to that place.
Yeah, nah.
But that's a really wonderful outcome of some shitty times.
Yeah, it's really, you do walk around and you're like, I hate everyone. Like, that's reality. Yeah. Like,
well, I think you start to lose trust and you start to just feel like, what's the point in doing any of this anymore? Yeah. I've been there. Like, I totally hear everything you're saying. Yeah. I've been there, but
it's
I'm
mad,
like, I'm done. I don't want to do this. I'm just going to go and try and find another career route or something. I don't know. I was totally all over the gaff. Yeah. But I think, you know, you work out the bits that you feel like you are capable of doing and it changes your mindset and you work out a way to deal with it. But it's hard.
It's really hard. And I think for me, like, the one thing I genuinely think my therapist saved me, it's mad because, like, therapy is one of those things that I've definitely dabbled in my life. But at the point of which I entered that room and met my therapist, I'm like, rah. I actually don't know. Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? Because I look back and, like, coming into this record, I think for me, the most important thing is that everyone understands how authentic it is. Because I think it's easy to say, like, oh, I wrote this song and I felt this way. Or like, that's not how it is. It's like, look, for me, I'm not the best at expressing my emotions. But when I go in a room with people I feel safe with, the best way in which I do express is when I write. And I think, and when I sing, and when I feel like I can just talk to a microphone rather than a human being, because I don't like feeling. Like, that's been my journey. But it's like, that's why I'm like, so this album for me, like, and obviously why I've called it Jessica's, it's like, it really wholesomely is that. And it's like, it's been that journey of like, rah, like, I mean, all these things that have gone on. And listen, not all of it's negative, do you know what I mean? Like, there's so much positive, like the new team, like the way that I've just been allowed to be me on this process. It's like, Jess, man, who do you want to work with? Go do you, go figure it out, like, come back to us. And then sitting in a room with people where they're like, right, this is amazing, let's collaborate and let's just, like, make it even better. Here's my advice. And signing a deal with two women who are so, like, head of their game and, like, at the head of the label. And it's like, surrounded actually by so many strong women, like, that I think is also such a, like, amazing part of my journey.
So what part of you felt suppressed or caged prior to this? What sort of liberation have you experienced here? You're like, this is what I couldn't do before, this is what I couldn't say before.
I think for me, what it was is that I think I came into it young, I suppose, like, youngish. Well, I was young, yeah. I was in my early 20s.
Yeah, do you know what? I looked back at the first Live Lounge you did with me.
Yeah, yeah.
It was 2014.
There you go, 10
with
years.
With Clean Bandit.
There you go.
You did a cover of Jungle, Busy Earning, which was so good. I'd forgotten how good it was. Yeah. And I remember, everyone was like, wow, what's this voice? Oh, my God. Like, it was a beautiful moment having you on.
Oh, my God, that's 10 years.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? That's crazy. I think the parts I was holding back, I think I wasn't quite sure, if I'm honest. But I know that it's that, okay, how do I put it? This industry is crazy, right? And I think when you sign a deal and you have success and it's like, all go, and everyone's just on that wave, it's like, stick to what you know. Stick to what's working. And I think for me, and especially like my best mate who I've actually worked with we've been mates since I was 11 and she's my creative director. We're such like, I mean, she's a visionary. Like, she like reads my mind. She sees what I wish I could see. And it's amazing. And I think it's that the industry and the pop industry, there's definitely restrictions of like, sometimes I think, of where you can go with it. And I think at times it's like, you get these ideas and you want to execute them, but then it's kind of like, not everyone understands it. But I've learned that that's all right, actually, because not everyone has that capacity to see it. Because they don't know that that's, I don't know, like, they've not done it before, so that it doesn't feel safe to them. But I think for me, what I've learned is, like, not being safe is the best freaking thing in the world. Actually, like, taking risks is what actually has, like, made me so freaking, like, inspired and excited and actually done the best work, like, written the best songs. Because no one's told me that they want something from me. They've said, go and do you, and then let's go back in on it, and then let's figure it out. Because, like, the most important thing is that you're happy, not me, because it's not about anyone else. And that's not, again, being selfish. It's like, this is your album and it's your story. So go tell your story and then let's go in on it. Whereas before, I don't think it was so much of go tell your story and be free to be you. it was a lot of like insecurities around me and a lot of like doubt, which then makes me feel doubtful. So then there's like this, where are we going? But like, are you sure? But they're not sure. But they're like, oh no, we've got to stick to what's right. And it's like, like you don't
trust.
Yeah, you don't trust yourself to just break boundaries. Like ever since I stepped on the scene, I feel like I've knocked down doors and I feel like what I've done has never been like the norm. Why would I continue to then change my ways and stick in a cardboard box? So like, that's kind of like a lot of what I've learned. And I'm like, knock down them doors.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think the audience feel it as well, because if they think you're just popping out a 2-minute pop song that's going to do well on radio, they're like, yeah. Oh, well, whereas if they're feeling something.
That's it.
Like if you, all the people you listed earlier, like Prince, for example, yeah. who did not play by the books ever. I mean, I went and saw him at the Roundhouse, I don't know how many years ago, probably over 10 years ago. He didn't play a single hit. Not one.
Same.
And everyone was like, play Raspberry Beret. No, mate, I'm doing a jazz
he's
set.
Like, no,
thanks
yeah,
very much.
He's so
but it was,
funny.
But it was
know,
so
I
cool because
it.
That gig will stay in my mind forever because it was so unexpected. Yeah. So it's the harder route, but it's the better route.
Yeah, I think it's just that for me, like when I listen to music, it's all about feeling. Mm. You know, be that like I want to have fun or cry or whatever it is. And I think for me, it's like if my song can make you feel something, and you can like take something away from it, from the message, from the feeling that you've got in your body or your mind or whatever it is, I've done my job.
Yeah.
Because like that to me is like the best gift of anything. Because like when I listen to records, like I know when I listen to like Purple Rain, for example, talking about Prince, right? I just know what mood I have to be in. Because if I'm listening to that record, I know that I need to just immerse myself in a moment.
Yeah.
And then it's like even Beyonce just released that Texas Hold'em, right? I'm like, oh, I needed this. I needed this feeling. I don't know what, I couldn't even explain it to you, but I played it on my people because I needed that feeling. And it's not like expected. It's like a feeling of like, oh, it's just raw, like country record. I love it.
Prince Purple Rain, I need to be looking out of a window having a cry.
You know.
But in a really good, healthy way. Like, I'm getting it all out.
I need a minute,
Yeah, I need a little Prince Purple Rain minute.
Exactly.
I love that. You're also in a really happy, healthy relationship.
Yeah.
Do you think you had to get happy and healthy to be in that, or it got you there?
Oh, that's a good question. Do you know what? It's a really interesting journey, I think, because I feel like people say to you, don't they, you can't, like find that feeling unless you're happy in yourself, right? And I think for me it has been an like a crazy journey of relationships, and I think the work that I've done on myself has actually settled me inside, and I think it's allowed me to enter a relationship where I feel like very kind of comfortable, and I'm allowed to like, and I'm just me, but I'm actually like unapologetically me. And like that goes for work, for like my, even my relationship with my family, with everything. I think every relationship around me has been like got better because of the relationship with myself. And it has allowed me to, yeah, be just like really happy in a new relationship. But it's mad to get there, I think, for me as well, because I think love is a really scary subject in all walks of life. And I think when you've been through trauma and you've been through a lot in your life, I think love is the one thing that you've, well, for me anyway, it's that one thing that I keep at a distance. So I'm like, yeah, it's a nice thing to be able to embrace someone and a relationship that feels really genuinely good.
Does it help that Alex is in the public eye, that you can actually, you get that side of each other's life and the expectation that comes with that?
Do you know what? It's something I'm getting used to. It's like, you know, for me, like I've always made a conscious decision in my life, right? When I started my career, it's like, it's, I guess it's a conscious decision, but it's like the thing that I love is that I love doing my job and like stepping out there. But then what I do love is that I've managed somehow to keep my personal life to myself, because it's so important, right? You get to go home and that's yours.
Yeah.
And no one has access to that. And that's something that is like you keep close to your heart. And I think that's something that I've actually enjoyed, and like still even now, even though we're both like in this public space, it's like, but what we have, that's ours.
Yeah.
And it's actually like, I feel like that's something I will always do, because people want so much from you in every, you know, sense of the word. And I think what is beautiful is that you both feel that way and you both got that, and that's something you're going to keep for yourself. And like, it's up to you, isn't it? Like, I was reading this book, Untamed,
by
Glennon Doyle.
Yeah,
Glennon
have you read
Doyle.
It?
Yeah, amazing. She's been on here.
Has she been on here?
Yeah.
Oh.
We had a great chat.
Did you? I love her.
I love her.
No, but actually, this book, like...
This book is amazing. The cheetah analogy at the start. I know.
It's so special. Do you know, like, since reading that book, I'm like, you know what? It has, like trust, right? I love the thing she wrote about trust, and it was, it's up to you who you trust. It is not up to anyone else. If you want to say, like, what did she say? Oh, I love the way she wrote it. But basically, it was just like... Your trust is yours. And if you want to talk about something, you talk about it, and if you don't, and that's for no one to judge you.
Nope.
But like giving your trust to someone, that's your present. I love that. It's like me trusting you is my present. So if you don't allow me to feel that way, you don't get it. And that's like, oh, I love that.
It's so good. She's really good with like boundaries. Yeah. And knowing what's what. But equally, like we've just talked about, knocking down doors and going, I don't care that you're trying to put me in this box or make me something. I am not that. I'm going to do what I want to do. Like, just totally untamed. It's such a clever, clever book.
Isn't
it's
it?
Brilliant.
And, like, the way she just talks, like, the way she's taught her, like, look, I don't have kids, but I'd love to, when I have children, like, teaching the, like, the way that she's obviously been through a lot, right? And then she gets to that point where she's like, I'm actually going to leave this marriage and show my kids actually what they should do.
Yeah.
And that's be brave. And being brave is putting yourself first. This may be tough and like may break you or whatever, but I'm breaking you to show you that you shouldn't be boxed in. Because so much of like being a woman, I do believe, is that we abide by so many rules because we feel like we have to. And because it's such an ancient freaking rule. And it's like, but why? Like, if I don't want to be in that relationship, or if I don't want to be in that work, or if I don't want to do this, I'm entitled to say no. And just because I'm a woman, or because I'm like seen as like a weak, like I'm not weak. I'm actually really strong, and it's actually empowering. Like all these decisions like that I know I've made have made me feel so much more empowered. And like she, like, I don't know, the way she talked about it, I was like, yeah.
She's such a good writer.
Oh,
I can't.
I know,
she's so amazing.
I
love
her.
But I think remembering back to the podcast episode, I think I was like quite sycophantic for about the first 5 minutes because I was just like, I love you. I love you so much.
And it
she's amazing.
You
yeah.
You like,
oh
live
my God,
by
it stays with you.
Yeah. Such, not many books do that.
It's so clever. It's so clever. I'm so glad you read it as well because I think it's, if you're on any kind of hate the word, but I'm going to use it journey and you're like, discovering new things about yourself and you're working through like what you want and what you don't want is such a perfect book to read at that
it
time.
It is, isn't it?
So good.
And it's like you finish that book and there's like a, well, for me, it was like an affirmation of like, yeah, you know what? I'm not on the wrong road. I'm all right, you know?
Yeah.
Because like what she's been through, like it's just, that's what I mean. It's like, you never know what someone's been through. So just be kind, isn't it? And it's just like, keep it moving. Yeah,
and
love that.
And you are enough.
Yeah.
It's the message.
Yeah.
Oh, Jess, what a joy to talk to you today.
Yeah, pleasure.
I've so loved catching up with
you.
I'm so happy that you're doing so many brilliant things and you're feeling good and you've made all these brilliant decisions. And the album is amazing and I love Enough. I just think it's such an important song for women to hear.
I think it is.
It really is.
Yeah, I'm
and
glad
thank
you, said that.
Thank you for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, Jess, I love that chat so much. It felt incredibly raw and real and vulnerable. So just thank you for being so thoughtful and really open. Do you know what? You never know if you're going to get a properly honest interview. I don't like to call it an interview. It's a chat at the end of the day, but you don't really know where you're going with the chat sometimes. But Jess was so open-hearted and I think talked about some pretty difficult things and had some really honest self-reflection. And also, I think it's really good to look at those moments where we get things a bit wrong and to own it. And Jess is properly doing that. And not many people do. So, like, massive hats off to Jess for that. Jess's new album, Jess, is out on April the 26th. If you haven't already listened to the Glennon Doyle episode of Happy Place, please do. It's really lovely. And if you get as excited about connecting over books as Jess and I did with Glennon's, come and join us over on the Happy Place Book Club. We're on Instagram at Happy Place Book Club. We're on there as Happy Place 2 at Happy Place Official, so come have a chat. Massive thanks again to Jess, to the producer Anushka Tate at Happy Place Studios, and to you. Go on, fuck up a bit, it's all okay. Thank you.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.